Probably you have already looked at your bulletin and you've seen the title this morning. And the title came to my mind based on conversation that Sherry was having with a good friend of ours this week. That conversation was about life and about death, I guess, and about eternal life maybe, but the comment was made to my wife, I hope that I make it. And I think you know what the person was talking about. I hope that I make it into heaven, into glory with Jesus someday. And when Sherry mentioned that to me, I was thinking about that and I was pondering that and I was wrestling with it myself. Not that I'm wondering, will I make it, but I'm wondering how many people struggle with, wrestle with, and wonder, will I make it? Have you been there? I know some of you have. I know we've talked, and we wonder sometimes, will I make it on that day at Judgment Day? I like the question that D. James Kennedy used to ask on a regular basis. Dr. Kennedy is gone now, gone at a younger age than we would think appropriate, perhaps. But he used to love to ask this question to his TV audience or to his church that morning or to individuals that he meet. If you die today, are you going to be in heaven tomorrow? That's what he loved to ask people. And then, based on their answer, if it was, well, yes, or I think so, or I hope so, then he would say, based on what are you going to be in heaven tomorrow? And it makes us think about heaven. It makes us think about eternity. And it makes us think, have I done what I need to do? Have I thought through this? Have I placed my faith in the only one that can help me with this whole scenario? And as I was thinking about that question and this statement that was made to my wife this week, I hope that I make it. I was thinking, you know what, folks? Eternity is a long, long, long time. And I told the earlier service, because this is what my heart told me when I was thinking about that, I don't know about you today, but I'm not very comfortable with wondering what my eternal status is. I'm not very comfortable with waiting until that day I'm standing before the throne of God and wondering, like some lottery or something, am I going to make it? And I would guess that you're probably not too comfortable with that thought either. And I'm not trying to minimize, please forgive me, I'm not trying to minimize somebody's insecurity about heaven. I'm going to tell us and I'm going to show us and I'm going to tell and show through for 1 John 5, you can know today if you're going to be in heaven tomorrow, if today is it. I'm going to show us what John said. You can know. And so I'm not very comfortable with, you know what, going through life and wondering, will I make it? Heaven and hell are real. Okay, I think we all agree on that. Heaven and hell are real. And they are eternity. And we're either going to spend heaven, all of eternity, I mean, in heaven with Jesus, with no sin, in the glory of God, or if we haven't made that preparation, that decision, if you will, we are going to spend eternity in hell. And I know you can, I know your hearts and say, Jim, well, that's a little harsh, but that is the reality of the Word of God. We are either ready to go home to be with Jesus or we're not. And if we're not, we need to. That's the good news. We can still get ready because we're still here. And so I'm not trying to minimize your, perhaps you're wrestling with, will I make it? I'm not trying to minimize that. I want us to know that I know because of Jesus. There's two things that come to mind when I think of eternity. And this statement, and I don't wrestle with this, but I know lots of people do. We wonder, will we make it? And the other thing that is very, very obvious today in funerals and in things, we see death, we see the end of life all around us, and so oftentimes in our mind we are just thinking heaven is automatic. Heaven is automatic when we know Jesus. But it's not automatic if we don't. And so I want us just to be, I just want to clear up a couple things today. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. And I would invite you to read all of 1 John. It's only five little chapters. And it's good reading. It's good stuff. Shows of the love of God and a lot of good stuff. But I just want us to be clear what John is saying in 1 John 5 today. And to be clear, heaven is not based on how much I did in my lifetime. Okay? It's not. Heaven is not based on how much I made or gave to the church in my lifetime. Heaven is not based on, am I a member of a church? Heaven is not based on how I have or haven't been baptized or I went to confessional or confirmation class. It's not based on that. But heaven, brothers and sisters, is based on the wonderful grace of God and our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And so I want us to be clear what John says in 1 John chapter 5 about Jesus, about God, about our faith in Him. And so I started with verse 6 last time, but I realized that ran out of time, so I'm not going to start with verse 6. I'm going to start just a couple verses later, and then we're going to go back to the first part of chapter 5 in a moment. But if you will start with me in verse, I believe we will start in verse 9. John says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He testified of His Son. Here He says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made Him, that would be God, a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. Now listen closely to 11, 12, and 13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. Okay, are you still with me? You're probably following it there anyway. Yes, you are. Good. And so we get to verse 12, and this is a very easy verse, and I suggested the first service as well. Memorize this verse. It's very, very good. It's very, very easy. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Pretty easy to memorize, wouldn't you think? Pretty easy testimony to share with folks on the street, folks in our family, folks at our workplace. God has given us, He has provided us the opportunity to eternity with Him forever. And that life is in His Son. Then He says, this is the verse I like, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I love to talk to folks that come peddling their goods at my house. Of course, they haven't come lately. That pass out their tracts. You know who I'm talking about. They maybe been to yours. Who wonder and work their way, or supposedly work their way to glory someday, and are wondering, will I make it? I love to share this verse. I love to tell them, brothers and sisters, or friends and neighbors, or from whatever, wherever you come, you can know you have eternal life because there is eternal life in Jesus. I love to tell them that. Don't have to wonder, am I going to work my way? Am I going to have enough points? Am I going to have enough stars in glory to be there someday? We can know we are going to be there someday because we can know through faith in Christ Jesus. And so I love that verse. Matter of fact, next time somebody comes and tries to give you some of that information, you go ahead and ask them, do you know you have eternal life? And then point them to 1 John 5:12 and 13. He that has the Son has life. So I ask myself, based on this, based on the question or the comment that was made to my beloved the other day, I hope that I make it. I ask myself, how do we know if we have eternal life? How do we know if we have eternal life? What did John just say? He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Fairly simple, fairly straightforward. So then I ask myself this question, how do we know that we have the Son? Have you ever wondered that? How do I know that I have the Son? Let's go back to 1 John. And let's look at chapter 5 and verses 1 through 5. The first part of the chapter now. Because John lays this all out. He's talking to followers. He's talking to believers, of course. But he's talking to us today too. And we can use this with our message to the world around us. How can we know we have the Son? Verse 1, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? Not just a prophet, I've said this before, not just a good guy, not just the top 10 of Time magazine. Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? What does Christ mean to us? The Messiah, Savior, Master, Redeemer. Is He the Christ? Is He the one who died for all humanity? Is He the one who died for me? John starts out, how can we know that we have the Son? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot, that's God, also loves Him who is begotten of Him, that's Jesus. He's listing these things now that all get wrapped up together. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Remember the old song, faith is the victory. Remember that song? Faith is the victory that has overcome the world. That's what John said. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so when you read these five verses and put them all together, intertwine them, doesn't matter how you mix them up, they all point to the same thing. Followers of Christ first got to believe that He is the Christ. We must believe that. I said it before, you've heard it from Pastor Salek. Billions of people believe in Jesus today, but not as the Christ. You know what I'm saying? Believe He was there. Believe He was a prophet. Believe some things about Him, but don't believe in Him as the Christ, my Savior, the Savior of humanity. John wraps these things all up. How do we know that we have the Son? Do we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior? You know what? Do I recognize I'm lost without Him? I'm lost without Him. All of humanity is. And has my belief taken on relationship? You say, Jim, now you're adding words to it. No, I'm really not. Look at all five verses and see what he's saying. Do I love Him? His relationship. It's just like I used the analogy this morning with my children, my grandchildren. They are here. And they're still here, some of them. But I have a relationship with my wife. I have a relationship with my children. I have a relationship with my grandchildren. We love each other. We interact. We take time with each other. That's what John is saying. Yes, I believe in the Christ and I love Him. And not only do I love Him, not only do I love God, I love the Son. So oftentimes we hear the conversation, at least I do, and perhaps you have, yes, Jim, I believe in God. But do we love Him? Do we love Jesus intimately with all of our heart, soul, and mind? This is what John says, do I really have the Son? Believing in Jesus as the Christ, to love God intentionally, to love the Son synonymously with God, after all, they are one, are they not? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They are one. He says that right here. We just didn't read it, but it's in here. They are one. Do I believe Him in the Christ? Do I love Him intentionally? Do I keep His commandments? Not because I'm fearful I'll get the smacking of God if I don't, but because I love Him. John says, when we love Him, we obey Him. That's part of, do I know the Son? Do I have the Son? Keep His commandments. Obey the Word and the voice of God because I love Him. Not because I feel this sense of duty or obligation or I'm going to get a black mark or take away a couple of my stars in heaven, but because I love Him, I want to obey His Word. And you know what? It isn't even burdensome, John says to me, when I feel like that. It isn't even burdensome that He's got some commandments that I should keep, Jim should do, because it's the better thing for Jim to do. It isn't even burdensome because I love Him. That's a relationship with Jesus. Amen? That's a relationship with Jesus. That is knowing that you have the Son. A relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus. And he throws in a couple of more things there. We can overcome the world because I know God will help me. We can overcome the world. Remember a couple weeks ago I said we can say no to sin. We can do it. We can overcome the world, John said, because we know Him. And you know what it all boils down to? It's just kind of a definition of faith. Of faith. How do we know that we have the Son? He spells it out for us here as clear as you can get it in 1 John 5, 1-5. How do we know we have the Son? It starts with, do I even believe He's the Christ? Do I love Him? These are how we know that we have eternal life, because it is through the Son of God. Hallelujah. It is through Jesus. I can't work my way there. I can't be good enough. I can't do this or that to earn points or stars. It's because of the grace of God and our faith in Him. When we come to the realization, humanity, that we cannot get to heaven on our own merits, or somebody else baptizing me or praying over me, when I come to the end of myself, so to speak, I've used that terminology regularly when I visit folks in jail, and cry out to Jesus, believing in Him as my Lord, surrendering my all in all to Him, confessing my sins and allowing Him to lead my life, then we are bound for glory. We are bound for glory. You say, Jim, that's too hard. It's not hard. God has done it all already. Christ has gone to that cross at Calvary and done it. It's just a matter of now, do I believe it? Do I embrace it? Do I love Him intentionally, so much so that it shows? It's not hard. Jesus has done the heavy work. He has done the impossible sacrifice. He's done it. It's just up to us now. Will I believe it? Will I receive it? Will I live it? Let me close with this, because you might still be wondering, I'm not sure, Jim, I can know. Let me close with this. If you've read through the New Testament lately, which I have just a couple of times, just to keep refreshed, you start to see this resounding theme with Peter and John and even the people like Jude and James and of course Paul. You see this resounding theme. These guys, brothers and sisters, these guys did not go through life wondering, am I going to be in glory? Okay? You with me? They did not go through life wondering, am I going to be in heaven? Let me read for you a little excerpt from Paul's second letter to Timothy to get the flavor. And I could read from Peter and Paul and others. They have the same heart. They were not wondering, will I make it? Let me read for you what Paul said to Timothy. He was in prison. He was about to be killed for his faith in Christ. And he said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I am going to die. I am going to be killed. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I have fought the good fight, verse 7. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, he said. Hallelujah. Finally, there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Does that sound, brothers and sisters, like somebody that was wondering? He knew where he was going to be in eternity. He knew because he had given his life to Christ. He knew even though he was stoned and beaten and shipwrecked and hungry and all the other manner of difficulties in life, he knew he was bound for glory because of Jesus. Doesn't sound like somebody wondering to me. He knew his destination was in the presence of God. And brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you, when you know Christ, when you know Christ like John has described here, when you really know Him and you've given your all to Him, you've confessed your sin, you've invited Him into your life, you too are bound for glory to receive, as He says, finally we can say, there is laid up for me that crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? That's good news, brothers and sisters. If that doesn't excite you, I'm not quite sure what it's going to get to excite us. We can know. We can know we have eternal life in Jesus. Isn't that what verse 12 and 13 said? He that has a son has life. He that doesn't does not have life. I write this to you, he said, so that you will know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah. He's done the hard part. He really has. We just got to trust in Him. Believe in Him. Surrender to Him. Give our lives. Say, Lord, here I am. Take me just as I am. You know, I'm reading a book again right now by Brother Andrew. Ever heard of Brother Andrew? Some of you have read some of Brother Andrew. Pretty good guy. But anyway, I'm reading a book right now at home about another one that Brother Andrew has written. And it's about Muslims coming to Christ. And you know what? Same thing. When these people turn their back on the old way, as it were, and we've all been there, the old Jim, the old John, Judy, whatever your name is, when these people turn to Jesus, there's no question in their mind who they are. They are children of the Most High God, bound for glory. No question in their minds anymore. We are bound for glory because we have given our lives to Christ. May they die for it? They may. They may die at the hands of their own family. But they know where their eternal destination is, just like Paul, that I may receive that crown of righteousness which Jesus will give to me. Friends, if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure, there's no day like today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you're here today wondering, will I make it? You can know. He that has the Son, or she, has life. Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Have you surrendered to Him completely? Have you invited Him to take control of your life? Because if you have, you have the Son and you have life. If you don't, maybe today is the day. If you're wondering about that, you slip your hand up and then down so we can pray together and I can give you some literature and we can help you in your walk through life and your pathway with Jesus. Gracious God, we bow before You, thanking You that You have done it all for us. You have, in Your wonderful grace, in Your matchless grace, in Your wonderful love, provided for us Jesus. John is clear here in his word. You have given us eternal life, and this life is in Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you have done for us. We've just got to believe and trust in you as our Christ, as our Savior. Thank you, Father, that you have provided for us salvation in Jesus. And Father, if there's a heart or two or three or more here today wondering, do I know him? Do I know the Son? Help them not to delay, O Lord. Help them to bow before you and say, Father, I too want Jesus as my Lord. I believe he died for my sin. Father God, may your Spirit continue to work on hearts that have wandered away from you, are far from you, or have never met you personally. Father, may your Spirit work on hearts and draw us back to you, our loving, gracious Father. Dismiss us now with your blessing, with your guiding hand, with your encouraging hand, with your hand of steadfastness, so we can stay the course. We can say like Paul, I have fought the good fight, and there is for me in heaven a crown of righteousness waiting. Dismiss us now, O God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.